This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars Episode 38 was recorded on July 26th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. All-Star Danielle DiMartino Booth is back with us today. This episode will air on Monday morning, so Danielle, we're coming into FOMC meeting and press release on Wednesday. This is kind of a big one. A lot of people have been expecting a rate cut. What should investors expect as we see the FOMC and what they have to say on Wednesday?
Well, so first of all, I think investors and market players should be highly aware of how very historic Wednesday is. The last time that the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates was December the 14th, 2008. So it has been a very long time since the Fed has even flirted with an easing cycle. So this will be a monumental move. And more importantly, it could set off a currency war where other countries that are desperate to keep their currencies weak decide to start a tit-for-tat meeting with the Fed, pushing policymakers to continue lowering rates. And you know, I think the way markets operate naturally is the minute Jay Powell leaves the podium after Wednesday afternoon's press conference, market participants are going to do what they always do, especially in a Twitter world. They're going to say, what's next? What is coming next from the Fed? What is the market pricing in for September the 18th?
And with respect to this meeting, there's been a lot of talk about, okay, is it a 50 basis point cut, which I think a lot of people are very complacently taking, just making the assumption it has to be. Some people recently have said, no, maybe 25 is more likely and that might actually be a disappointment for markets. What do you think is most likely going to be what we get on Wednesday?
Well, I don't think we get a 50 basis point cut. I think that the massive public relations disaster with John Williams of the New York Fed, and then the spokeswoman for the New York Fed had to come out afterwards and say, no, it was just an academic paper. He was just kidding. Of course, he wasn't speaking about policy. So I think it made it patently apparent that the powers that be at the Fed, as in Jay Powell, after they saw markets pricing in 50 basis points, they said, no way, no how. So the best case scenario for the Fed is that we see a reacceleration in economic growth such that they can truly call this a one and done insurance rate cut and go back to the business of being in a holding pattern. And given the most recent GDP report that we've seen, I'm not so sure that that's not just wishful thinking. You know, we saw government spending rise at a 5% rate. We saw consumption rise at a 4.3% rate. That's compared to paychecks that are growing at 2.8% and borrowing, consumer credit that's growing at 5%. Something doesn't figure into the strength in the GDP report, despite the fact that it obviously came down quite a bit from 3.1% to 2.1%. The consumer is not sustainable in terms of their ability to continue to spend if their paychecks don't start growing again. And government spending is simply off the Richter scale. One, you know, I don't want to tickle any conspiracy theorists, but that number seems odd in and of itself. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we've seen the first decline in business spending since 2015. And we saw export growth contract by over 5%. And that tells you, and that tells Fed policymakers, that the concerns that they've been voicing about the trade war bleeding into the real economy are very real, and they're manifesting in slowing exports, slowing capital expenditures. These are the people who do the hiring and firing. So hopefully these are subjects of discussion at this FOMC meeting and play into what future policy is going to look like.
So we've got declining GDP numbers. You've, in previous interviews, described the global slowdown and all of the many economic signals that suggest that maybe some kind of accommodation or easing is warranted here. But you said you do not expect a full 50 basis points. So is 25 basis points a near certainty, or is there a risk that the Fed says, no, you guys are all assuming a rate cut we're not quite ready to cut after all?
Well, I think that Jay Powell is out of the business of shocking markets. he's been burned so many times that if he was to disappoint the markets, he would end up with egg on his face in the form of the stock market tanking and the Fed having to come in and scramble, because the distance between July the 31st and September the 18th is sufficient enough that if the stock market was to take a serious step back, the Fed would have to come in with an intra-meeting rate cut just to mitigate the damage to the real economy, given we've already seen business spending and export spending slow with the dollar as strong as it is right now. So you wouldn't want to do that. And can you imagine what the White House would do if he was to not push through with at least that 25 basis point cut this Wednesday?
Is there a risk that the 25 basis point cut happens this Wednesday and it is still perceived as disappointing markets that were at least some people expecting 50, and that the stock market tanks anyway because they didn't get 50?
Well, there's always that risk that markets are going to be disappointed, and markets seriously only want to know what you've done for them lately. On a more fundamental level, my friend Jim Bianco has pointed out that if the Fed does choose just to do this 25 basis points, which is fully anticipated, they're not going to uninvert the yield curve. So as long as you've got that inversion in the yield curve, markets will continue to communicate and broadcast that policy is too tight. And the longer you've got that situation facing banks, facing corporate decision makers, the more lasting economic damage to the economy. So I happen to have some sympathy for Jim's views that a 50 basis point cut would have at the least uninverted the yield curve. That's not going to happen as far as market pricing is concerned.
Danielle, let's take this conversation global now. Let's assume that the Fed does cut. Obviously, as you said earlier, that creates a pressure maybe for Mario Draghi to feel like he's got to tit for tat respond. One of the favorite tricks of central bankers when they're on their way out of office is to create a big mess and leave it for their successor to sort out. So I think there's almost any possibility there. What would you see the reaction being from the ECB and other central bankers around the world to, as you put it earlier, maybe the Fed signaling in some ways that it is beginning what could be a currency war?
Well, I think that it's going to be a pressure-filled environment for other countries to respond and be reactionary to the largest central bank in the world. I've lost the ability to count on two hands the number of central banks that either are easing, including, by the way, Australia, which we haven't seen in a generation, but the number of central banks that are in an easing mode or have announced their intention to begin easing policy. So we're in the double digits at this point, and I would expect for that to accelerate after Wednesday's move, because it's all about trying to stay competitive and keep your exporters up and running in a competitive way and not have your currency work against you if the global economy is slowing, as we know it is. For all intents and purposes, it looks like Germany's in recession.
What is the timetable for Christine Lagarde to actually take the controls of the ECB, and what would you expect in terms of any potential surprises in that transition period?
Well, I think that European policymakers were really hoping that they were able to get Mario Draghi to his Halloween finish line when his term finally ends on October the 31st and be able to gracefully hand over the reins to Christine Lagarde and let her take the next step in terms of executing policy. But the situation with Brexit is clearly elevated and remains an amplifier, as well as the surprise degradation of the German economy. There were a lot of optimists who were saying that the German economy was going to rebound, and instead we saw Germany's manufacturing sector sink further into a contraction, and we actually saw France, the second largest economy in the EU, hit that flat line. Of course, that's Lagarde's economy. So she will be inheriting policy that has already started. The markets have a 77% probability priced in that the ECB is going to cut rates on September the 12th. So I think that's just about a done deal, which means that Mario Draghi is not going to be able to hand over the reins and say, do as you wish. She's inheriting brand new policy that's already underway. For heaven's sake, they've already got quantitative easing relaunching in January of 2020, meaning that the ECB couldn't even get off the methadone of QE for a year's time.
Let's expand this conversation to the US dollar and its strength relative to other currencies. As we're speaking, which will actually be last Friday in our listeners' perception, and recording this ahead of time to air on Monday morning, on Friday, the dollar index appeared to be, I wouldn't quite say breaking out decisively, but on its way to a breakout. We're just flirting, just barely as we're speaking right now, under that 98 level. And we're above 97 spot 50, which was the contract high previously. We had our first close above that critical level. There's a new contract high close yesterday, and we're moving higher today. So I think that President Trump has been very clear in saying he wants a lower dollar. What can be done? He's asking his advisors to get the dollar lower. I think a lot of people, from what I'm hearing, are kind of expecting that when the Fed cuts rates, that's going to put the brakes on the dollar rally. And I don't see it that way. I think that the interest rate differential argument is a differential argument. As long as other central banks are going to also ease tit for tat, there's no reason that it would arrest the dollar rally. Do you agree with that view? And how do you think that the dollar and President Trump's fascination with the dollar might play into the politics of what central bankers do next?
Well, I think that there will be increasing pressure on the Federal Reserve specifically to potentially intervene in conjunction with the Treasury to weaken the dollar. We've certainly got White House officials, especially Larry Kudlow, denying that, sticking to what all Treasury Secretary, he's not a Treasury Secretary. Mnuchin also echoed what Larry Kudlow had to say, and that is that we need to have a strong dollar policy. That is always what we have maintained. But if you look at just the US dollar versus the euro, it is 22.5% overvalued. So that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the central bank. And as long as you have crazy things like the Greek 10-year bond trading south of the 2% yield, there will always be a relative play and a rush into US treasuries, which keeps the dollar strong as long as other banks around the world, central banks around the world, are in an easing mode.
Some people have speculated that what we're headed for, if the dollar does break out decisively above 98, is that President Trump would start pressuring people to explore some kind of modern-day Plaza Accord. Do you think that that's in the cards, and what would it mean for markets?
You know, I would hate to speculate on something of that magnitude simply because everybody's economies are teetering or either falling into recession, and the mutual benefit to all other countries would not be assured in any way, shape, or form, to say nothing of the fact that we have even stomped on our allies from time to time, and finding that level of negotiation and compromise would be difficult at best in this environment.
Well, Danielle, I can't thank you enough for another fantastic All-Stars interview. We're going to get you back soon so that we can get another update post-FOMC. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.